Blog Talk Radio.
Sportsaholics 24/7. Thank you all for listening. A lot of big news to talk about today, but first let's start off. I'm your host, John, joined by my co-host, Nick and Brandon. What's going on, guys?
Hey, John. Not much, man.
So we have a lot to talk about. Obviously, we are in the heat of March Madness right now. And so we're going to talk about that, obviously. We're going to talk about NFL free agency, and this has been gone for a little while, but our trivia question of the day is back, and we will release that question if you call in and you want to answer it. So make sure to call in. The number to call in is 347-884-8496. Now let's start off with college basketball. The NCAA tournament, about halfway done, Sweet 16. This is one of the craziest years that I can remember. Pretty much everyone's bracket is busted. I mean, Duke lost first round. Wichita State just lost to Kentucky second round. Dayton's in the Sweet 16. Tennessee's in the Sweet 16. Nick, what have been your impressions of this NCAA tournament so far?
Well, it's making me very, very angry, and I'm losing money from it. All I can say is, on Friday, three teams let me down: Kansas State, Nebraska, and Oklahoma State. Marcus Smart played a terrible game. Phil Forte also played a terrible game. He was actually, believe it or not, one of the reasons why. I always thought he was underrated. He was one of the reasons why I thought Oklahoma State was going to win, and he was terrible. All he did was chuck up shots that there was no way he was going to make. I think it was poor coaching also, because there were. That game with Oklahoma State and Gonzaga, there was, like, no sort of game plan. It was just get the ball to Marcus Smart and hope magic happens. And I'm very disappointed.
All right, Brandon, what have been your thoughts so far about March Madness?
All right, well, first of all, let me just apologize real quick, because a couple of days ago I said on air that Duke would win the national championship and that DeVon Fox would win the best team. Let me just take this moment right now to apologize for my complete stupidity. I would have never thought that it would be that bad. All right? With that being
DeVon
said,
Fox is the same other year.
This tournament has been absolutely crazy, and I love every second of it. I don't care about my bracket anymore. It's long gone. I don't care about winning $1 billion. Those teams are out the window. But this is a great year for March Madness, and I really can't wait to see how it finishes. Really is.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. You know, my bracket as well is done. I think most people's are. And although I did have Tennessee to make it to the Sweet 16, which that's looking like a pretty good pick, I had Wichita State winning it all. We lost to Kentucky last round, and, you know, it's frustrating from the bracket perspective. However, just from a pure fan perspective, this has been one of the most exciting NCAA tournaments that I can remember. And, I mean, I've only been alive, I only remember watching, like, what, the past 8 to 10. However, this one is crazy, and I've been seeing a lot of guys who've been around a lot longer than I have saying the same exact thing. So it's exciting for college basketball fans and sports fans in general, because March Madness is kind of like the Super Bowl. People who know nothing about college basketball will watch it anyway, especially this year with the billion-dollar bracket competition. Even though no one won that, it still generated a lot of buzz. So March Madness overall is just a great experience for all sports fans. And This leads into my next question. With the teams remaining, 16 teams left to the Sweet 16, who do you think will make it to the Final Four? I know we made some predictions on the last episode. However, you know, there have been a ton of upsets, a ton of shakeups. Brandon, we'll start with you. Your Final Four right now.
Okay. Well, to be completely honest, I'm not really 100% sure on this. I mean, I will make my pick, but I'm just, I don't know, I haven't really focused on, you know, who's out of the bracket or anything else like that. But of the remaining teams, two teams I really, really like to go to the national championship and face each other. And I think this is a storyline above anything else, but this could be a great matchup, and that is Michigan and Michigan State from their respective sides of the bracket. I really think from watching these first two games in this tournament that Michigan can really make a big run right now, considering that they play an 11 seed in Tennessee. Yes, they're underrated, but it's Michigan, and they're a very talented team. Nick Stauskas is a very, very talented player, and I think they can easily get past Tennessee and the winner of Kentucky and Louisville. Although I think Louisville, should they play Michigan, they give them a bit of a problem. I think Michigan's going to take revenge on them last year's national championship. For Michigan State, on the other hand, it's a bit of a tough road because they do have to play Virginia, who is a number one seed. But I really don't think that Virginia has enough talent to beat Michigan State, especially because Michigan State is a very well-coached team, and they have a lot of chemistry with each other. And Virginia, I really don't think that. I see a lot of isolation almost. I kind of see a lot of maybe like a Joe Johnson, you know, type of system. You know, if you get what I mean, that he's a very isolated player and, you know, whatever. And, you know, they would easily beat Connecticut or Iowa State, I think. On the other side, on the top, really, I think Arizona's going to win in that side of the bracket. I think they're just too good, and there really is a lot of competition. The closest thing has is Baylor. So, I mean, come on. And on the other side, I think, wow. You know what? I'm going with UCLA.
Nick, what do you think about Brandon saying UCLA? Never mind.
I said from the beginning, Florida's going to lose the Elite Eight. I thought UCLA would play Florida. They play Florida now. And in that case, Florida's going to the Final Four. Because Dayton's not going to beat him, and neither is Stanford. So, I mean, come on. Florida's making the Final Four, but they're not going anywhere past that. I think your national championship game is Michigan and Michigan State.
Okay.
All right, Nick, how about you? What's your Final Four?
My Final Four this year is Florida, Michigan State, Michigan, and I would have to go with Wisconsin.
Wisconsin?
I agree with that.
Wisconsin, mainly. I got the same thing as you, Nick, except it's just Arizona. Mainly because of this. Their excellent ball movement, and they are reliable in all different aspects of the game. For example, if they want to hit a three-point shot, they need to get it out and hit a three-point shot, they have that. They need to get down the paint, they have that. If they just want to work the perimeter or whatever, get to the basket with guards, assist, they have that. So that's really the main reason why. Baylor, on the other hand, I mean, listen, Baylor's a great team, but they can be inconsistent at times. While Wisconsin, throughout the season, has been more consistent.
Nick, I have to agree with you about Wisconsin. Now, Wisconsin, year in and year out, under Bo Ryan, has produced very similar type teams. They're physical teams, great defensive teams, and they always have a few guys that can shoot. However, there's one guy that I think is going to make a difference for them, and that's Frank Kaminsky.
I know.
The 7-foot center. Frank Kaminsky. He averaging 13.6 points a game, 6.3 rebounds a game, great defender, physical player. So I agree with you on Wisconsin. So who else will make it to your Final Four?
He can even shoot threes. What was that? Oh,
I also said Michigan State, Michigan, and Florida. I think Michigan State is extremely underrated this year because the reason why, John, I'm sure you, I think you said this too, but the reason why they're a four seed is because they've been plagued with injuries throughout the year. Throughout the season, it was always either Keith Appling, Gary Harris, or Adrian Payne was hurt, and now they're all together. And Adrian Payne is the best big man in college basketball right now. I don't care what anybody says. He can, like, he's like 7 feet tall, and he can shoot threes. Okay, he is reliable, not just inside, not just in the low post like most centers. He's reliable all over. It's like Michigan State, they're a very well-rounded team. I like them more than Michigan this year.
All right, that's an interesting point.
Yeah,
I have to agree with you about that.
You're right, Nick. Michigan State has also beaten Michigan twice this season already. So, I mean, you know.
I mean, Michigan's a good team with Nick Dowskis and Glenn Robinson, but other than that, what other pieces do they really have?
Yeah, I think, personally, as much as it pains me to say this, since I really dislike Michigan, I think that Michigan will make it to the Final Four because in their side of the bracket, the only team that would really be a problem for them would be Wichita State because they're similar type teams. Both teams have a lot of guards and a lot of wingmen that can score.
What about
not
really
deep
Louisville
inside? And I think Louisville could pose a threat to them. However, I think Michigan's just better. So that's for the Midwest region. I have Michigan going to the Final Four. For the West region, I have Wisconsin over Arizona. Arizona is good, but they've had those games this year, like one game against Arizona State, where they were just bad. And when they're off, they're not that great. And I think Wisconsin's very consistent, great defense. Solid offensive team, well-coached, experienced. I think they're going to the Final Four. From the South region, I have the Florida Gators, no doubt about it. I think they are the best team in this tournament. Whether they win or not, that remains to be seen, but they're the best team in this tournament. From the East region, I think Michigan State, like Nick said, the reason why they're a four seed is because they've been plagued with injuries. They had guys like Adrian Payne and Keith Appling out for a while. And Adrian Payne, first round against Delaware, 41 points. He was hitting threes. He was hitting all of his foul shots. He was finishing inside and out, playing great defense. And for me, that's my Final Four. And who knows? With the way that this tournament has been playing out so far, anything can happen. Dayton, who's an 11 seed, can make it to the Final Four. I mean, we really don't know. So
yeah, you never know with this year. It's really been unbelievable. I'm honestly all in favor of just not making any picks and just watching what happens. So that way when we were wrong,
I agree with that. This has been a very exciting March Madness.
We're wrong all the time. Look at
Nobody's been right.
No one's been right.
I didn't realize Kentucky has really put on a show, and they have really impressed me, especially Julius Randle. I feel like at times when they get him the ball, he can be, not all the time, but at times, he can be absolutely unstoppable. It's almost like he is a machine. They press a button, and he just does what you need him to do. I've really been impressed by how Julius Randle has been playing these past few games. Also, the Harrison twins, them too.
Yeah, Kentucky is a good team that they beat Wichita State, so we'll have to see. But let's move on now. We still have a lot to talk about, just under 16 minutes left in the show. And before we move on, quick reminder that we're going to be having a trivia contest today. So call in. We'll tell you the question. You'll have some time to answer it. It is related to college basketball. So if you think you're a college basketball fan, this is a tough one, but you never know. You might be able to get it. And if you do get it right, then you will be inducted into the Sportsaholics 24/7 Hall of Fame. And the number to call
is 347. And you will be the only member of the Hall of Fame.
No, that's wrong. Ira from Poughkeepsie got the question earlier in the year.
Ira, the number to call in is
347-884. It was Ira from Poughkeepsie. It was Ira.
But, I forgot about Ira from Poughkeepsie.
Ira from Poughkeepsie. It was him. Now, the number to call in, quick reminder, 347-884-8496. If you want to answer a trivia question to be inducted into the Sportsaholics Hall of Fame, just call in. It's a tough question, but hey, you never know. Now let's move on to NFL free agency. And we're going to start off with a local team, the New York Jets, and you guys are both big Jets fans. And I think they just made a huge upgrade. They got rid of Mark Sanchez, and Mark Sanchez was kind of a sideshow for them. It really distracted the team from focusing. It was, you know, the media was focusing on that instead of a young quarterback they have in Geno Smith right now. And they signed a guy who he himself is a kind of sideshow type thing. Michael Vick, obviously, you know, went
Absolutely.
To jail years ago, but I hope he's moved past that. He's a great football player. I personally think this is a big-time upgrade for the Jets because this takes pressure off of Geno Smith and off of Rex Ryan and off of the whole team, really, because Michael Vick is an experienced quarterback that can win them football games. Nick, let's start with you. Do you think that Michael Vick is a good signing?
It could be, and that all depends on whether or not he stays healthy. There is one problem, though, that I don't like, is that I see both arguments. The pickup has its pros and cons. One of the cons is that, well, the whole intention is to give Geno Smith competition. And I'm all in favor of competition, but there's one problem. Who's a better quarterback? Who's more experienced, Michael Vick or Geno Smith? Same type of quarterback. Who's better? Michael Vick. That's not even close. So my feeling is Michael Vick is not going to be the future of the New York Jets. They signed him to a one-year deal, and they want Geno Smith to develop. But how's Geno Smith going to develop if he has no competition against Michael Vick anyway? And then he'll sit out a whole year. He'll be rusty when he gets back, and then that could be bad. However, at the same time, you know, it gives them competition, and they want a stable quarterback for the year because Geno Smith is a huge leap of faith, but they're making it an even bigger leap of faith if Michael Vick's the one starting the whole season, and then the next season you throw Geno's with him with the Sharks, and he doesn't know what to do. So it really could go either way.
Right. Now, John, back to what you were saying earlier about how it released pressure off of everybody, you said one thing that was just totally, totally wrong. Geno Smith has more pressure on him right now than at any point in his professional football career or college career or maybe high school career. Michael Vick, I don't care what he's done in the past, he is a talented football player, a talented quarterback, and certainly talented enough to lead a team of New York Jets, okay? Geno Smith has got to step it up. I love Geno Smith. I think he's the future of this team. I think he could be very, very good. I don't know about great, but I think he could be very efficient and a very good quarterback in the next few years to come. But I think that Geno Smith is going to have to raise his game a lot if he thinks that he's going to not only keep his starting job, but maintain it throughout the season. Because once Geno Smith flips up and makes a mistake, bam, Michael Vick's going right in the game. Woody Johnson has said he wants to win now. He doesn't want to wait. He signed
Everybody
Eric Decker.
Everybody wants to win now. You know, it's funny because Geno Smith wants to win, you know, 5 years from now, isn't it?
No. Nick, you're missing the point. Is that last year, Woody Johnson, although he didn't want to win, he pleaded to Jets fans for patience because he knew there was a rookie quarterback in the building. He knew that Rex Ryan could be his last season. He knew the team wasn't going to be that great. They were certainly not going to the Super Bowl, and they were probably not going to the playoffs last year. Well, they almost did, for God's sake. But this year, there's no excuse. Woody Johnson has said he's tired of patience. He went out, made a ballsy move, and signed Eric Decker to maybe a little bit too much money, but I don't care because the Jets need a receiver and that's the right move to do. He also signed a bunch of other guys, Bertha Giacomini from the Seattle Seahawks, the right guard, and, you know, just a few nobodies. He re-signed a bunch of people like Alves. Regardless, the Jets are in win
now mode, and Geno Smith has to play now to win his job.
Here's my reasoning.
Okay.
Here's my reasoning to defend what I said earlier. When I said the pressure comes off Geno Smith, I meant it like this. Michael Vick is going to come in, and I personally think that he will be the starting quarterback. However, that does not mean Geno Smith's career is over with the Jets at all. This period of time that Michael Vick is on the team and will most likely be playing, maybe even over Geno Smith, this will allow Geno Smith to develop without being forced into it. I've seen too many instances where a young quarterback who's transitioning into a totally new offensive system from college to the NFL has been thrown into the fire and has had their careers ruined. Now, Geno Smith, he did okay last season for the situation that he was in. But I think by getting Michael Vick can teach him a few tips, and Geno Smith can have some time to develop. And that's the most important thing, because the past two quarterbacks for the Jets have been thrown right into the fire, Mark Sanchez and Geno Smith. And that does not work out most of the time. So by giving Smith some time to develop behind an experienced quarterback who can win you some games, maybe get you to the playoffs, that's what I meant by saying the pressure comes off Geno Smith.
All right. I can totally understand
that. Okay, can I just say something, though? As a diehard
okay.
fan, and Brandon, I know maybe you too, John, but Brandon, you're going to go nuts. All I can say about Mark Sanchez leaving is this. I think all Jet fans should be giving Mark Sanchez a round of applause.
I agree.
Really do. Because he is a successful quarterback. He is one of the best quarterbacks in franchise history. Brandon, Mark Sanchez is one of the best quarterbacks in franchise history. He has won the most playoff games since Joe Namath. How about that? How about how he has had no tools, especially in the 2010-2011 season? He had no tools to work with. But he still managed to get the team to the AFC Championship, and they just lost to the Steelers just by a little bit. You're going to tell me that Sanchez is not one of the best quarterbacks in Jet history, and the Jets do not have a good. I'm not saying Sanchez was great, but he wasn't that bad. In my Jet standards, he was great. By Jet standards.
All right, Nick, I totally get what you're saying, and I totally agree with you that New York Jets fans should be grateful for Sanchez's first two seasons, really, because the rest of it was just absolute crap. But what you said about him being one of the best quarterbacks in Jets franchise history,
he is.
I really don't see that. I mean, you can't not give him credit for beating Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and almost beating Ben Roethlisberger in the same postseason, all while doing it against the opposing team's crowd. You can't not give him credit for that. But let's not forget, that wasn't all him. What you fail to realize is that, especially in his second season, in the 2011 season, the New York Jets had a top five defense, as they did in his rookie season. And they were dominant as well. Darrell Revis was still on the team and healthy. The defensive line was a stout. The linebackers, a healthy Art Scott, a healthy David Harris, and, you know, a bunch of other guys. I can't really remember off the top of my head right now. But that defense was outstanding. And Kamari, who's not on the team anymore, unfortunately, was also, you know, coming off maybe his best season as a Jet, maybe his best season in his career, playing alongside Revis. And I'm not saying that Sanchez did nothing to get himself into that position, because he did. He clearly did. But, again, it wasn't all Sanchez. It took a whole team effort to beat Peyton Manning. It took a whole team effort to beat Tom Brady. And it took a whole team effort to do the same thing in the season before.
Well, Brett, you can say that. You can say that about anybody. I mean, football is a team game. They all work as a team. But the quarterback is the head honcho. And for Mark Sanchez to almost make the Super Bowl in his second year and to almost make it his rookie year, do you realize that Mark Sanchez is the second football player of all time to make it to the AFC, to make it to a conference championship in his rookie season?
I do realize that.
That's
and I do appreciate what he has done for this team. And I will never forget when Sanchez took the field and beat the Patriots on January 16th. That date is etched in my mind. Listen, all right, Sanchez has done great things in a Jet uniform, but he also has not done some great things in a Jets uniform. I don't think I need to mention what those things are. I think me and you, especially being lifelong fans, we know what those things are, and it's good that he's moving on. I will miss him, but it's for the best. It takes a lot of stress off this organization, and we no longer have to be the butt of the jokes in the NFL.
But let me just say,
I see what you did there.
Sanchez has to be in the top. Other than Joe Namath, maybe one quarterback in Jet franchise history who is better than Sanchez.
Who's Ken O'Brien.
Who?
Ken O'Brien.
How many playoffs?
Chad Pennington.
No.
Vinny Testaverde.
No, he wasn't.
I know. I agree with Nick. I think that Sanchez kind of fell off at the end because Brandon, both you are right, in my opinion. Brandon's right in terms of the Jets having one of the best defenses in the NFL. But Nick's also right. You still need a good quarterback to take you that far, and Sanchez did that, and he barely lost against the Steelers. And as a rookie and a sophomore in the NFL, took him pretty far.
Right, and the biggest question of all is, how did it happen? But I don't think we should dive into that.
He was good.
Do that for, Nick, we should save that for another show. We should move on from this topic.
Yeah. We only have three minutes left in the show.
Yeah, let me ask you guys a question. What team do you think has had the best free agency so far?
What team has had the best free agency?
That's a tough one. I'll be honest. I kind of think the Jets have had a very successful free agency because – well, there were some rumors that they were going to try to sign DeSean Jackson. That didn't work out. But getting Eric Decker, that helped. He's a very good receiver. They did pay a lot for him, but he's worth it. Great hands. He's a good receiver. Getting Michael Vick, like I said earlier, will give Geno Smith some time to develop. And, you know, they signed some other guys, re-signed some players. So I like that from the Jets. I do like that. And I think getting rid of Sanchez was important because it was a distraction – and less distractions off the field, the better you do on the field.
I am almost, now call me crazy, but I am almost kind of wishing that they would bring him back. I mean, because now they have Vic and Michael Vick and Geno Smith and everything, it's not going to make sense. But last year and even earlier in the offseason, I was thinking, well, Sanchez has clearly proven to be a successful Jets quarterback. Why can't we bring him back? Now, the only reason against that would be because even though he's been successful, he's been unsuccessful too, so it's kind of a leap of faith. But all I can say is, if I am a GM of an NFL football team without a quarterback, if I'm a GM of, say, the Jaguars, something like that, Jacksonville, I am going right after Mark Sanchez, right away. I'd much rather have Mark Sanchez than Chad Haynes, or Blaine Gabbert. I don't understand why I'm not going after Sanchez.
All right, well, listen, for me, it's a very easy answer as to which team has had the best free agency. It's the Denver Broncos.
I agree with that.
They signed DeMarcus Ware and Emmanuel Sanders. They got rid of Eric Decker. Fine. They upgraded him with a bigger, lankier, and a wide receiver who can catch the ball a lot better than Eric Decker. And I think he's going to prove to be a bigger threat because Eric Decker, in all honesty, was basically a poor man's Wes Welker. And they already have Wes Welker, so why not just go big? And DeMarcus Ware, I don't care how bad his injuries are, I don't care how much money he's going to make, he's still DeMarcus Ware. He's still one of the best outside linemen in the NFL. And DeMarcus Ware is a ridiculous player. And the fact that the Denver Broncos have him now as well, they're going to be scary, man. And they got to keep Talib from the Patriots. And the Patriots kind of got rid of this in return, but I mean, come on.
I know we have very little. We have very little time left, but all I can say is the Broncos. Their
defense. Yeah, I think
bad.
The Broncos did. I don't understand what the Cowboys did, though. I think they made some big mistakes this offseason, but we have to wrap up the show. We'll keep the trivia question for next show if you want to call in. But thank you all for listening. We'll be back soon.